I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
It's time to get green. Doug Oster and Jessica Walliser are here. All natural, no pesticides, no artificial ingredients. The Organic Gardeners are on KDKA Radio.
Happy Mother's Day to Jessica, her mom, and mothers around the world, and those with us and not with us. It's a very special day. And, of course, all of our sponsors have something waiting for your mom. So get out and visit them and buy local, get fresh, and enjoy this fabulous day. And his tea is brewing. He's still a little under the weather, but no worse for the wear. He's here. He's working. He's Doug Oster. Great to have him back as well. Just back from Italy. We'll get a little preview of what happened in just a couple of moments. All good. But in the meantime, if you are the 10th caller, it's going to be all good for you, too, because you're going to win a gift certificate from that great place out in Wexford known as Sorgel's, 412-922-1020. And if you have anything on your mind today, please get on the phone and give us a call, 866-391-1020. Doug and Jess, good morning. And again, happy Mother's Day.
Good morning. I am Doug Oster from Everybody Gardens and the Tribune Review.
And I'm horticulturist Jessica Walliser. Thank you. And
happy Mother's Day,
thanks.
Jess.
Thanks. And happy Mother's Day to my mama and my mother-in-law.
And your bride, of course.
Happy Mother's Day to my wife, Cindy, and everybody else out there.
Yeah, it's going to be a
very special
good
day.
I
wonder
Mother's
if I'm going to be able to cook out. I'm supposed to cook out.
Yeah, rainy Mother's Day today. So.
I can still do it.
Yeah.
I don't care
you
about
stand
the
out
rain
there with that umbrella, your little tent set up over the grill. Oh, yeah, and you're a charcoal griller, too, so you'll be out there a long time.
Starting with the wood fire, the whole crazy thing.
You're going to be out there a long, long time.
There's worse places to be.
That's true. There's nothing wrong with that good smell of a charcoal grill.
And boy, while I was gone, did the garden explode.
I'll bet. Yeah, you were gone a long time.
Even walking into the building this morning, it was like, wow, look at those Japanese maple, the daylilies. I don't know if you saw the little island out there, but it's all
mm-hmm.
covered in weeds, too.
It's been...
What do you call that weed that is like... It's like Velcro weed. What is that called?
Yeah, like sticks to your...
It's all over.
Oh my gosh, what is the name
there
of that? Hay something or the other. Hay straw. Straw hay. Something like that. Yeah.
It's a weed.
It's a very obnoxious weed. So Rob mentioned the call-in for Sorgel's, and I just want to mention that I'm going to be Sorgel's on Thursday at 7 o'clock for a talk on shade gardens and plants. I would love for you to come. I always have so much fun. Back in the barn giving the talks at Sorgel's. I've got a great presentation put together about how to have a beautiful garden without a whole lot of sun. You do have to call and pre-register at 724-935-2090. And that's this Thursday at Sorgel's at 7.
And you better call because it's going to sell out. They always do. A lot of people come see you. I've got a couple gigs coming up next weekend. Saturday, 10 a.m. at Belmont Complex in Katanning. I'll be speaking for the Penn State Master Gardeners of Armstrong County's annual plant sale, answering garden questions, talking gardening. And then Sunday, 2 p.m. at Allegheny Township Historical Society's Walker Farmhouse in Leechburg, talking about heirloom gardening. That's going to be a lot of fun. So what's going on in your garden?
Well, talking about heirlooms, man, I was at May Market at Phipps on Friday, and holy heirloom tomato explosion happening at May Market. So many amazing, incredible, wonderful varieties.
I was at Glade Run yesterday at their plant sale, and same thing. I was looking through the different tomatoes they had there, and, you know, we're really into this. There were some things there I didn't know.
Yeah.
There were some ones that, like, you know, I got to tell the, you know, mortgage lifter story to anybody who would listen and that sort of thing. But, yeah, there's a lot of cool stuff there. And I have for you, I don't know if you remember this, but Homer Fikes yellow oxheart tomato. I've
ooh,
got a plant for you.
Excellent.
All
right.
From Tomato Fest.
All right.
Your Tithonia are looking good. I was supposed
excellent
to have those today, but I forgot. I slept through 9 minutes of my alarm this morning.
It's been a rough morning.
Walking the dog. Cindy's off seeing her mom, so I was walking the dogs and, yeah, running to the studio.
One of the tomatoes I was most excited to see there that I'm going to grow this year, although it's not an heirloom, it's heirloom-like, but it's a newer variety, Berkeley tie-dye.
Yeah, I've seen it.
I have eaten it, but I've never grown it, and it's one of my favorites for eating. Mm. I forget where I got it. Must have gotten it at a farmer's market somewhere. They're giant and they're pink, but they're green. They have green markings on the skin and green markings on the inside of the fruit. So they have that little tang of a green tomato, but they have the sweetness of a pink tomato, and they're giant. They're huge. So I am really excited. And of course, I got my favorite pineapple.
Yeah. Pineapple. People were talking about pineapple. What was it? Yeah. Yesterday at the event, somebody was saying that they won a tomato competition with pineapple. Mm-hmm. Pineapple is a great one. That's my in-law's favorite tomato. How big does that one get? A pound?
At least, yeah. They get really big. They're not as prolific as, you know, like...
taste.
Early Girl or something like that, where you get a lot of tomatoes. You know, there's fewer tomatoes per plants, but they're giant, and the flavor is just knock your socks off. And then I did get two from Cherry Valley Organics. They had my favorite red tomato, which is Kosmonaut Volkov, which is a Russian variety.
Relatively early for a big tomato.
Beautiful, consistent red skin, consistent shape, great production on that one. And that's my favorite for making my famous tomato soup. I got two of the Kosmonaut Volkovs, and that'll get me a couple of batches of tomato soup. So
you call your own soup famous tomato soup?
Well, it's not my own soup. It's actually my mom and Mrs. Moyer, who lived catty corner behind us.
It's their famous soup,
but I've made it famous.
You're continuing the tradition of a famous tomato soup.
That's right.
I never had your tomato soup.
Really?
I love tomato soup.
Oh, I'll have to bring you. In the freezer. I'll have to bring you.
So let's see. I have for you the sunflower, Mexican sunflower, Homer Fike. You probably don't need another tomato, do you?
I didn't buy that many.
A bunch of really weird ones I got from Tomato Fest. And then pink Lily of the Valley.
Oh, cool.
Yeah.
Good.
So...
All right.
Maybe I'll remember next week.
All right.
Wake up a little bit.
Let's take our first break of the hour, come back and dive right into these phone calls. Congratulations to Valerie of Pittsburgh, winner of that gift certificate from Sorgles. We have a great one to give away for another great destination for Mother's Day. Of course, Janoski's in Clinton. Our number now, 866-391-1020. Give us a call. Anything on your mind in the way of gardening. And of course, you can always reach us at Dollar Bank Instant Access, kdkradio.com.
Doug and Jessica teach you how to keep it green. The Organic Gardeners are on KDKA Radio.
Oh, we're back, and now we're going to talk to Doug a little bit. How was that vacation to Italy, working vacation?
Oh, man, it was great. Just absolutely fantastic. To see Italy again was just wonderful. One of the best days, I can't remember what town we were in, but we had a little free time, and I just got to walk around a little bit and went into like a little like hardware garden store and poked around in there, and then just walked into some little shop and got a big string of cherry tomatoes, grape tomatoes, and a chunk of cheese, and just sat in the town square and had my lunch.
Nice.
It was awesome. So we had a lot of fun. Vatican Gardens.
That's what I was going to ask you about.
Vatican Gardens were just...
Is it hard to get in there? Like you have to get tickets way in advance?
Yeah, there's never a crowd. I just wrote about it. It's at Everybody Gardens, where I had gone with Cindy 12 years ago for our 25th anniversary, and I knew there were gardens there. So when I went to the Vatican, I was just poking all around. Where are these gardens? And finally, they sent me some little office. And yeah, you've got to book it way in advance. And like I said, there's never a crowd in there. We were the only group in there.
Wow.
And so it's astounding. And when I was in there, this was beautiful, Jess. When I was in there, you know, the guide's talking and I'm looking up and there's these three nuns in what beautiful white habits and the sun's coming through the tree. And I'm like, oh, is that a picture or what? You know? And, you know, she's talking about in the 15th century. I'm just like, come on.
Get the camera.
And so I love that picture. And then what they were doing actually was they took all these, they had flats and flats of bulbs that they had installed at the actual Vatican, and they they were a little past their prime, so they're just kind of storing them in the garden. They were looking through those to take them back to the convent to put like in a vase or something. And I got a nice picture of one of them with this giant clump of hyacinths, you know, walking away. And again, the white habit, the whole bit, and the old stone walls. It was amazing. Next year's Portugal, 13 days in Portugal, so... That's going to be fun. That one's really garden-centric. We're flying out to the Azores twice. It's going to be awesome. Ready to talk gardening?
I am. Let's go. Let's
you're
go.
A little jazzed about that.
Yeah.
Joanne, you're up first for Doug and Jess. Good morning.
Good morning, and happy Mother's Day.
Happy Mother's Day.
I have two questions. I have oodles of butterfly bushes, and a lot of them get very large. Is it okay to cut them back now, or would I spoil the blooming of them?
Oh, my goodness. Well, butterfly bushes you should be cutting back in March. You can cut them back to about 8 to 10 inches tall. They should be cut back very, very hard in very early spring.
Wait a minute.
Yep.
I cut them back. This is the new growth coming out so big.
Oh, okay. So you're not talking about the old last year's growth.
No.
Okay.
I already did that.
Gotcha.
Oh,
so, yes, you can pinch them. You can definitely pinch them back. You can pinch them back by as much as half of their height. And what that's going to do is that's going to encourage a more branched structure that's a little more compact and dense, but absolutely, and it'll actually increase your bloom.
And that's what I wanted to find out, because I've had them big, and I thought, well, this year I'm going to ask you if I could cut them back now with the new growth, because I already cut them back in March, like you said.
Yeah, now I wouldn't do it much past about June 1st, because if you do it much past June 1st, you're going to be delaying the flowering so long that you could risk not getting a good bloom. But if you do your pinching before June 1st, that should be fine.
That will be great. Next question. I had a neighbor that had a wisteria, and she's having a terrible time getting rid of the roots.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought, great. I bought an Amethyst Falls wisteria. And it's small, but does it have root problems like that?
Yeah. Once you have a wisteria, you never get rid of wisteria.
Somebody sent me a picture
yep.
from their neighbor. This must be 50 years old, all the way up like a 40-foot tall pine tree blooming.
Oh.
Yeah, once they're there.
This is a small, I've never seen the amethyst. Even the blossoms that are all over it right now are very small.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought, oh, maybe I got something that doesn't have a long root like that, but wisteria do.
Yep, and you know, with something like that, even when you cut it back, you have to be real careful, because you cut it back or down, and then it sends up a ton of root suckers, which become even more problematic. So
get rid of it.
I mean, I would early in the process, because it's lovely to start, but then it really becomes a challenge and problematic.
I was at a house where it had come up onto the deck and started to tear the deck apart. And they were asking me, how do I make it bloom? How do I make it bloom? I'm like, I don't think you need to worry about that. You need to worry about it. And I talked to him this year. It was, you know, and I saw it a couple of years ago. And he goes, I removed all those wisteria. I said, good idea. Because unless you have a proper structure for it, too, you got to have a proper structure with 6x6s.
Yeah.
You know, otherwise, it's not gonna work. I wanted to ask you, Jess, though, what are some native shrubs or other shrubs that are really good for butterflies? Do you have any specific ones that you can think of that really bring in the butterflies?
My favorite one in my yard, which actually attracts more butterflies than the butterfly bush that I used to have. I got rid of my butterfly bush because it was reseeding everywhere and can be quite invasive, is buttonbush. And buttonbush is just a lovely, very naturally rounded shrub that produces these little round golf ball shaped white flowers, and is just loaded with butterflies every year. And that is, for me, one of the favorites of the butterflies in my landscape.
And we're always talking about our Mexican sunflower, but how about annuals or perennials that are also great for butterflies?
Native-wise? Or
it doesn't have to be native. There's things that you like to bring in the bugs.
I love the zinnias. I love coneflowers for that. I love the butterfly-wise and hummingbird-wise, actually, the Texas red sage.
Uh-huh.
Like red nymph is just absolutely phenomenal. I usually have trouble finding it, though. I found it at a few local nurseries, but not a ton.
Yeah, there's one salvia I love called Wendy's Wish, and
yep.
I found it a couple years, but I haven't been able to find it. And that one was, you know, the hummingbirds were all over it.
Yeah, I saw some of that at May Market. I'm trying to
really?
Remember the nursery
Oh, man, I would love to find that.
Yeah.
I would love to find
that. It's a great plant.
But we should also talk a little bit about, again, my number one question right now is, can I start planting my tender plants? Can I put them in?
Yeah.
You know, can I put in a tomato? Can I put in a pepper or impatiens?
Yeah, we always say, I talked about this last week too, we always say wait till after May 15th, but that's not a hard and fast date. It's really much more important to pay attention to the weather. I did look at the forecast and it looks like, you know, there's no danger of frost within the next, you know, in the 10-day forecast. So,
but a pepper, I'll tell you, a pepper and a tomato are going to hate 42. Soil. They're going to hate 42 air temperatures, and you're right.
Yep. They like the warm soil, so you're better off waiting than putting them in too early.
And I've got bees again. Our friend Steve Rapaski brought a swarm of bees over, so I'm back to the bee business, so I'm excited about that. Steve had great words to say when he came to see my garden. Your garden looks terrible. So I haven't been here in 11 days.
I was going to say, did you tell him you were out of town? Jeez.
He was just teasing.
That's funny. But the bees like, you know, they like the weeds. They like the bees on the weeds.
So. I'm keeping it wild for the beneficial insects.
There you go.
That's the idea.
All right, listen, we're going to come back and get into some more of your phone calls. We have a giveaway from Janoski's, a whole half hour still to go with Doug and Jess. So give us a call, 866-391-1020. You can also reach us, Dollar Bank, Instant Access, kdkradio.com.
Doug and Jessica teach you how to keep it green. The Organic Gardeners are on KDKA Radio.
All right, we're going to take that 10th caller to begin the second half hour of The Organic Gardeners to win that incredible gift certificate from Janoski's, 412-922-1020.
Brad keeps trying to call, but he keeps getting disconnected. I see him coming up on the call thing. So, Brad, call back, and we'll talk to you about your tree when you get a chance. I'm sorry you keep getting disconnected.
Yeah, there must be an issue with the...
So, I was out in my garden.
Your tree fell on the phone line.
I think the problem is on our end, not his end, but maybe you.
I was out in my garden. I was looking at my spirea, and it reminded me that I know that you always talk about spirea after it blooms. You can get it to bloom again. Is that what you do?
Yeah. I mean, it does depend a little bit on the type of spirea. So which kind do you have? The white bridal?
The old-fashioned white bridal.
Yeah. So they bloom really early in the season. They're ones
it's blooming
that,
right now.
Yeah. So they're not the ones that usually bloom again. Oh, okay. It's usually the summer blooming ones with the pink flowers that are sort of flat topped.
Okay.
Those are the ones that after they bloom.
I got a couple of those.
Shear them back and then they will flower again. The bridal veil spirea they bloom on older wood. And so that's a little hard to get them to.
And then I have that weird spirea. And it was supposed to be really rare that somebody gave it to me, and you guessed it like that.
The tomentosa?
Yeah,
the steeple
that's it.
Bush?
Yeah, that's it. Like, you know.
The pink flower.
Took her.
The pink flower?
Yeah, it took her, like, you know, 2 years of research to figure out what it was. I was explaining it to Jess, and she's like, oh, the tomentosa. So I was like, oh, I guess it's not that rare.
Well, it actually is very rare in gardens. You don't see it as a garden specimen
too often.
Man,
I love it. I love it. It grows like crazy, too.
It grows like crazy, and that's one of the problems. A lot of people don't plant it is because it does kind of sucker off the roots a little bit.
I've got it in a spot where
it's perfect for that then. Yeah.
All right. Oh, Brad, are you on there, Brad, or did we lose Brad?
Brad's there. Hey, Brad.
Hey, Brad. How are you?
Hey, I had a disaster.
Uh-oh.
My tree I asked about had splits in it here a week ago. That thing fell over during the night last Tuesday evening. And I am very grateful and thankful I was underneath that thing bowing when it happened.
Yeah.
It fell exactly the right way and didn't hurt anything. And I advertised it for firewood on the radio. A guy said, my grandson's in the business. I will send him down and cut that up, but he hasn't showed up yet.
Mm.
But it's going to make a wonderful bunch of firewood. It's white oak.
Oh, wow. Yes, it is going to be a great bunch of. So did the whole thing fall down or just the part that was cracked?
It was worse shape than I thought. I just saw a couple splits in it, you know.
Yeah.
And it was live. It started bearing leaves and everything, but went out in the middle. It just broke off.
Wow. Well, I'm glad it didn't hit the house or any fence or any structures.
I have a shed right there, too, and it didn't hurt that.
Wow.
But I wanted to tell you, I have a little seasonal palm. It don't hold true for today, but could I quote that?
Sure.
Spring has sprung. Look at the sun. It's out there shining for everyone. The flowers are blooming. The grass is green. Is it going to rain? We can't control everything.
Brad, you're awesome.
Very good.
Thank you so much for calling.
It's a sweet little Mother's Day poem.
Yeah, that's very nice.
All right. Next up is Tom in Churchill for Doug and Jess, the Organic Gardeners. Hey, Tom.
Hey, how you guys doing?
Everything's good.
Good. I have a question concerning the white Easter lilies that you buy in the, you know, store.
Mm-hmm.
As far as planting them outside, first of all, is it a good idea? Will they bloom? What should I do?
You can certainly plant them outside. I mean, you already have the plant, so it's not like you're, you know, taking a risk on buying a plant, but the truth is that they there's a good chance that they'll come back, but it's never 100% guaranteed. When plants like that that are grown for the floral trade are forced to bloom out of season, and that's what they do. They force it to bloom when it's not normally supposed to bloom. It takes a lot of energy out of those plants. And so what that can do is it can affect the blooming for subsequent, you know, the next year or 2 years, and it can reduce its hardiness a little bit. But I certainly know people that grow them that they grow for many, many years and do beautifully.
And I tell people to do it. I haven't had the greatest luck doing it.
Yeah.
You know, mine isn't even 50-50. I always plant them.
Mm-hmm.
You know, being the frugal gardener that I am.
Well, what I wanted to know too, like after they're blooming and you get those stalks on them.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, some of them are starting to brown from the bottom, but the tops are still green. Before I put them in the ground, or after I put them in the ground, should I cut those stalks off or just let them dry by themselves?
So I would cut off the little flower stalks, if that's what you're talking about. Just like the little nubs that are left behind by the
like
flowers.
Like the seed heads.
Yeah, like what would be the seed? If they were outside, they would have got pollinated.
But not the stalk.
Right. But the actual stalk with the leaves on it. You want to leave that intact.
That's what gives the bulb its energy.
Okay, so basically whenever that main stock dries, then you, as far as cutting it off, then you can do that, or do you just let it?
Yeah, the main stock with all the leaves, you let it go until it turns completely brown, because the nutrients that are formed in there on the leaves from photosynthesis will travel back down to the bulb, and that'll help fuel next year's bloom. So you need to leave it go.
All right, thank you guys very much.
You're welcome.
Thanks, Tom. Speaking of bulbs, Jess, it's been a great spring for garlic.
Oh, it has. It's been a great,
the garlic looks good.
Yeah.
Next thing that's going to happen here, they're going to send up that seed head, the scape. Be sure to remove that, garlic growers, and eat it. I make them into pesto. Do you eat them?
Sometimes.
I love them.
Sometimes. I've tried them on the grill. I know you love them on the grill, but
You got to get them. You got to get them early.
When they're tender.
They got to be tender.
Yeah.
All right. Sage advice. Mother ever gave you and you two, and obviously happy Mother's Day to Jess's mother and Cindy's mom, and but let's talk about your mom growing up. Sage advice.
All about telling the truth and being honest no matter what. And my mom would find a $10 bill in the in the store and take it and go right to the service counter. And that was a good lesson. Honesty is the best policy.
Yeah, that's what my dad, as they were out one night and brand new Hoover sweeper, and I was standing where I shouldn't have been stood, and he came back and he said, "How'd the sweeper break?" And son, you've got to be honest and tell the truth and you'll feel better. And, listen, I won't hold it against you. I told him the truth and he cracked me. And I said, "Dad," he goes, "but don't you feel better?" Not really. That's a fact. I remember it like yesterday. So come on, what about your mom, Jess, who's been here before? With it.
Yeah, my mom is such a good love. Like, she always showed such incredible love to my sister and I. Like, she never held back, and she never held back on telling us the truth about things. I always felt like my mom, and still does, have my back, like always. And I think that that's one of the things that I hope that I've modeled with my kid, to just let him know that I've always got his back, and to always have love. My mom was a great hugger, too. I love you, Mom.
That's right. So have you used some of that advice being a mom now in your
home
world?
The other thing is, like, you kind of take for granted when you're a kid, like I did anyway, back in the 70s, that when you come home from school and you get your schoolwork done and the dinner's just going to be there, right? And that mom's going to make something and every night it's there. And I always took that for granted, because I know that there were more days than not where, like, the last thing she wanted to do after working all day was come home and make dinner, right? And now as a mom, I'm like, you realize, like, your kid is hungry every night at 6 o'clock, and whether or not you want to make dinner, like, you have to make dinner. And sometimes it's the dad that does that. But in my house, it's me. I'm the cook. And then John does the cleanup and the dishes. But it's that whole, like, oh, my gosh, I have to do this again, like, every day. And I always took that for granted with my mom. And And thanks, Mom, for always having, even when it was that tuna casserole that I didn't like, she always had dinner. Looking back now, I'm like, okay, the days she made the scrambled eggs and hot dogs were like probably days where she really super didn't want to cook.
You eat
or we ran out of money.
You eat it and you'll like it.
That's right.
Real quick.
We never complained either.
I found out what kind of cook my mother was, because you don't know when you're growing up, is when I went to college. And everybody was complaining about the food in the cafeteria, and I was blown away by it. I was like, manicotti? What is manicotti? This is, isn't this amazing, this food? And everybody's looking
notice
at me.
Notice how tough he is with his mom living in Ohio.
Right.
Yeah, I told people the other day, Mom has been gone since 05, as your dad has. Mm-hmm. I said, my mom came to me in a dream, and she said, I've only been gone a few years. You screwed everything up. Anyway, we'll take a break. We'll come back. Happy Mother's Day. Stay with us. Anita McKeesport, you're going to talk to Doug and Jess in just a moment. KDK Radio.
Doug and Jessica teach you how to keep it green. The Organic Gardeners are on KDKA Radio.
All right, congratulations, Debbie. Pittsburgh won herself that gift certificate to Janoski's. Here's Anita in McKeesport for Doug and Jess. Hey, Anita, good morning.
Oh, good morning.
Hi, Anita. Good to
stay, Jess.
Thank you.
Good to hear from you again. How are you?
Oh, good. I'm glad you're back, Doug. Glad you're home safe.
Thank you. Good to be home. I'll tell you, it's always a good feeling to be home. It's fun to travel, but it's always nice to be home.
Yeah, no place like home. there was an article Sandy from Penn State had in the Sunday paper last week about the cicadas. And have they come yet? Because I haven't heard or seen any. And she said that if you're planning to plant new trees this year, to consider waiting till fall, because mm-hmm. the females cut into the branches and lay the eggs.
Yep. So they haven't arrived yet. The soil temperature has to be just right in order for them to emerge and then come out of their exoskeleton and emerge as adults. And yeah, I mean, they can be kind of intimidating, especially when we have a major sort of hatch like this, right, where it's a big brood that's supposed to come out here in western Pennsylvania in the next couple of weeks. And they can be intimidating, but they do not hurt humans in any way. They actually don't feed as an adult. So the only damage that they cause is the females laying eggs in young trees. So if you have young trees that you planted in the last couple of years, you might want to put some floating row cover over them to protect them. Or even bird netting would work, because the squares in bird netting are probably a little bit too small for them to fit through. So that would work, or do hold off on planting new trees until the spring or till the fall if you can.
You know, I was talking to Randy Sorgel about this because I was wondering fruit tree wise.
Yeah.
And he told me that he remembers in 1968 a bunch of them emerging and being at like almost like exactly an inch apart from each other, like in the holes.
Emergence holes.
Yeah,
really?
Yeah.
Wow.
And he was saying the same thing, that just like the only thing they're worried about are new young trees, but not a major concern. It's actually a great thing for fishermen.
Right?
Fishermen
yeah,
are,
fish, I hadn't fisher, thought of that.
Fishermen are so excited. I had a guy
Fisher people.
Fisher people are very excited. And I have a guy that tied a bunch of flies to look exactly like cicadas and sent them to me. Yeah,
that's actually nice. Good job. But the bass are going to love that.
We're just waiting, you know. And
yeah.
It's funny that how nature works, how 17 years, you know, that bass hasn't been alive for 17 years.
Yeah.
How does it know that? You know, does it hear it? Does it, how does it know that, you know, because when you drop one of those on the water,
yeah,
boom.
I'm sure the vibration of the buzzing around on
the
surface of the water.
But it's like, you know, when this happened, what was it, 2 years ago, 3 years ago down in Washington County? Mm-hmm.
A different brood, yeah.
Yeah, the lake down there, they were just, anything you dropped on the water,
yeah,
the fish would go after. So yeah. It's just nature.
I love how it all comes back to fishing with you, Doug. So Anita, did that answer your question?
Yes, well, I wanted to, you know, make sure that part about waiting to plant trees in the fall, you know, to help our listeners, you know.
Yeah, it's good advice. And if you do, you know, if you did just plant young trees, you do want to make sure that they're protected once the cicadas come out, because they can cause damage just from the egg laying. And the females will actually lay eggs as well in larger trees, but it would just lead to just little bits of the tips of the branches dying off, which you can easily prune out, or the plants can survive that just fine.
I wonder how loud it's
going to
be.
I hope it's super loud, because I love that kind of stuff. Yeah. I'm actually really excited for it.
I remember Okay, this is like old home week. Talk about Mother's Day. My mother made my brother climb a poplar tree to try and get the cicada out of there because it was driving her nuts in the summer. Happy Mother's Day.
It's really funny. We used to take the shells, you know, the cases of exoskeletons that they leave behind clinging to the trees and stuff. When we were kids, we used to take them and stick them on our noses and in our hair and like have them be on our clothes, like decorations.
They're the coolest things.
Covered in the cicada's exoskeletons.
They're the coolest things.
Okay, you two can go enjoy your day. Have a good day.
Remember, the Organic Gardeners always aim to create a better place to garden.
And a safer place to live.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.